Imagine a musical instrument shaped like a smooth wooden bell, cut precisely in half. There are five pairs of strings, each pair tuned to the same pitch, plus one bass string that stands alone. When the strings are plucked, this is the sound you hear. This is the oud, an Arabic word that means wood. The oud is the ancestor of the Western classical instrument called the lute, and it dates back thousands of years. Simon Shaheen is a virtuoso of the oud. Shaheen is a Palestinian who grew up in Israel, where he learned to play the oud at his father's knee. He's also a classically trained violinist. Since 1980, Shaheen has been living in New York City, where he joins us now from our New York bureau with his oud. Welcome, Simon Shaheen.
Welcome.
I wonder if you could just quickly give us a demonstration of what the oud, what it's like if you pluck a certain string a certain way, or if you pluck a bunch of strings. Just explain to us how it's different from the Western lute, because I think a lot of our listeners will have the sound or the knowledge of the lute in their heads.
Yeah, the lute will differ in basically it's the same shape, the same structure, except the number of strings. Here we have five double strings in the Western lute. It could be much more than that. And on the fingerboard on the left, we don't have frets. It's an open fingerboard. Because of this, it's possible to produce the microtonality sound on the oud.
So in the West, we would have do, re, mi, or, you know, goes from C to C up the scale, and those are seven notes. But you'll have many, many more notes in Arabic music.
Many, many more notes. While in Arabic music, in between the E natural and the E flat, we have at least five different E's as qualities that determines the quality of the music and the scale.
Well, can you give us an example right there? Can you give a
yeah.
demonstration what it sounds like?
Of course. For example, this is like a C minor scale. So if I'm playing three notes, as you suggested, the do, re, mi, E flat or mi bemol, and then the major scale, and here let's listen to this quality of the E. So if I'm playing, or now let's listen to it with this microtonality. Different sound.
It sounds very strange. It's
very
hard
strange.
To get used to when you have Western ears. We're not used to hearing that.
Yeah, this is why when American students come to study this kind of music or Indian music, classical music, it takes at least 10, 12, 15 years to perceive and to have kind of being able to hear it and listen to it.
You have a great story with the violin virtuoso Henrik Schering. You took a master class with him, and you played a Beethoven violin sonata for him. And I understand that he was very taken with you, and he thought it was great. However, when you said to him, "Oh, let me play you some Arabic music," what happened?
it's amazing. I played an improvisation. We call it in Arabic takasim, an improvisation on the violin. And for this, I have to change the tuning from Western tuning to the Arabic tuning. And, of course, this was very shocking to them. And then I started to play the improvisation. And after I finished, he came to me and said, "Young man, this was incredible. I don't understand how you create this music or you compose it instantly. But let me ask you, why did you play so many notes out of tune?" And he was refraining perfectly to the half flats and the quarter tones. It's amazing.
Oh my God! How do you answer something like that?
It's funny and sad at the same time. I mean, it's funny that it's very humor and sad that the exposure to world music is not that great.
Well, there's that sound that's created by those microtones too, that I think is very appealing to people because. The only word that I can apply to it is exotic. It sounds exotic. Mm-hmm. And exotic, it's very appealing.
Yeah. But, I can play for you a major scale and make it exotic. It depends. Actually, what you're referring to exotic It is the emotional qualities that we can produce as Arab musicians, and all these microtonalities gives you a very rich tapestry of sounds.
What can you play for us that gives us that we can where we can hear this rich tapestry of sounds?
How about if I play probably a short improvisation?
That sounds great.
And again, improvisation or takasim, it's now I'm thinking about it. I mean, I was listening to you, Lisa, and you know, your style, your sound, your voice, our communication will definitely impact the improvisation. So let's see what will happen.
Do you see pictures in your head when you play, or is it all just pure music?
I see the music as a picture itself. So when I listen to the modes and the combination of modes and moving from one to another, the tension and the release, it's all imageries, and I see them in sounds. Not only hear them, I see them perfectly in sounds.
Do they have colors, these sounds?
Definitely. As a matter of fact, yesterday I was teaching and I was explaining how to listen to a modal quality or scale in Arabic music, it's a matter of listening to a color, certain color that you differentiate from others. And this color includes a certain sound quality and emotional quality. And also it refers or it has a relationship with the time of the day. And this is very interesting point that some of the modes in Arabic music are played in the morning, others played in the early evenings, others maybe late night. So this relationship is very interesting.
You've also collaborated quite a bit with all kinds of musicians from different genres, and specifically with on this album Blue Flame with jazz musicians.
Yes. When I came to New York in 1980, I met so many incredible composers, performers, producers, musical producers, and I started to compose using different musical idioms and genres from world music, including Western classical, maybe the American jazz, South American rhythms, Indian classical music, and maybe Spanish flamenco, which is very much derived from the Arabic music. It led me to start performing with a group of musicians. I call them now the Kantara, Kantara, which means the arch. And we started performing around 1991, 92. And finally, we recorded our new recording, Blue Flame. So I think this is the Kantara project.
Simone, there's a selection on your recording, but it's called Tea in the Sahara.
There is a story behind this song. I never thought of including this song in my recording. And the idea started when the president of Universal Arc 21 Recording Company, Miles Copeland, who at that time was the manager of Sting, approached me and he said to me, could you just take this piece of music, this song, and rearrange it? So yes, I rearranged the song, and at the time of the recording, unfortunately, when Sting was supposed to sing the song, it didn't happen. Now, instead of throwing this song to the garbage, the suggestion came to put the violin as the singing element, and just to have it for violin and ensemble. So I played it, and I don't know, you heard it, what do you think?
I love it. See, I see images of sunset going into night, and there's definitely a propulsive quality about it at the same time that the violin is languid. There's two opposing kind of emotions there.
Yeah, it stands very kind of this. It has also this, I don't know what's the word would be there. It has this sensual quality also.
Definitely. How often do you turn to music or to your particular instruments for comfort? I'm thinking of everything that's happened since September 11th, and I've talked to musicians who've said, boy, it's really important to have music now.
You know, it's funny that at home I don't perform a lot. What I have been doing a lot since September 11th, performing in a number of memorials and performing out, you know, being very much out there and pushing for performances, not canceling or hiding. We did many performances in Chicago, in Bloomington, in Boston, in New York, in California. So it was very helpful. It was very helpful for me, for the band, for the people who came to see, to listen to this music.
Before I let you go, would you play us just one more selection?
Okay, I'll play you probably a composition which also on Blue Flame. It was composed by a Turkish musician, Cino Centan Rekurur, and it's called Sema'i Nahawand. Sema'i is the form, and Nahawand is the name of the scale.
Simone Shaheen plays tonight in New York City at Town Hall. The concert benefits the Arab American Arts Institute, which seeks to increase understanding about Arabic music. Shaheen's latest CD is called Blue Flame. And for this evening, that's All Things Considered. John Buckley edits, Steve Lichtai directs, and Walter Ray Watson produces with Annie Wu, Tracy Wall, Devar Ardalan, Alice Winkler, and Ann Hawk. The technical director's Abdullah Rufus with audio engineers Ivan Burketh, Stuart Grace, Daniel Shukin, Neil Ellis, Chris Nelson, Sherry Marshevsky, and Greg Gavin. Our reference librarian is Key Molesky, program librarian is Sally Robertson, the executive producer for Weekend News is Paul Brown, and I'm Lisa Simeone. Good evening from Weekend All Things Considered and NPR News.